You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Now, again, I want to be very clear. I have no idea whether the crafts would even ponder that. That to me would go against their nature. It would surprise me because I think that they felt so strongly about Gerard and they felt that way for a long period of time. But, you know, you'd have to see a lot to move on from a guy after 1 year. So while I never rule out anything in this league, that still would surprise me some. But the fact that these questions are coming up now, seven games into his coaching, that's not a good sign.
Schefter didn't shoot down Gerard Mayo losing his job.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, isn't it?
He's not predicting it.
No.
He sounds like he believes Gerard Mayo will be back, but
I would think, yeah, I guess he's
he didn't shoot it down. He wasn't like, no way. I mean, he's shot stuff down before and been wrong, by the way. Like, the Patriots wouldn't take four picks for Jimmy Garoppolo.
They took one. It was a second.
It's true. He was.
They didn't take four.
He was technically right. That's a good point. But he's been, my
but
point
that's
is,
sort of the message anyway.
Yeah, and my so point is message, he's been adamant, though, in the past about some things with this team.
Yeah.
And this one, like, what, Schefter doesn't talk to the Crafts?
Because I would think right now you could be adamant. If you're Schefter, right, you could take that stance. I think it'd be believable. And people are like, oh, he obviously talks to people.
Like, it's year one.
It's
guys,
year one. And
they're
it's
a mess. It's year one. He was handpicked. He's not going
also,
anywhere.
They're 1-6.
Yeah.
I think because Schefter's on once a week with Hart and Arcand. So 5 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
If they're 1-11,
yeah,
you ask them the same question, maybe you get that response.
Yeah.
But at this point in the year, you're like, all right, well, they, you know, it's a rebuild and all this other stuff. But he's already going there now is surprising.
Do you know how many times I asked Curran last year? Like, we started like week four if Bill was going to survive his job.
Yeah.
And by Germany, Curran's like, oh, yeah, he's going to be done. So, like, yeah, you could do the same thing. And that's not a shot at Curran. That's just the landscape can change. You can be adamant
for sure.
Now. And so the fact that he's not adamant, and that was yesterday on WEEI Afternoons, with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart. Schefter's on every week, 3:45 on Wednesdays. You can check that out on the Odyssey app. I'm sure it's posted on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. You can find it there. But the fact he didn't shoot that down and dismiss it out of hand when you know Schefter and Rap Sheet, like that level of news reporter in the NFL, you know they're plugged in at the ownership level, and you know, he's saying, crazier things have happened. That was not a ringing endorsement for Mayo is the point.
No, that's why I can't go 100% still. I felt like Gerard Mayo was going to get 3 years.
What do you got now? You were at 75% the other day.
Yeah, no, still 75.
Maybe 74?
Maybe 80. No, I'm going
back up to 80?
Yeah, I think so. 75 might have been too low. Might have been too reactionary.
Got it.
Because I just go back to the Thunder Buddy thing, and I just think that relationship is too strong, and there's enough pieces around him.
You're back up to 80?
Yep. 80%.
Okay.
It's like a B-. Somebody who's familiar with B-.
My high school transcript littered with 80%.
Shocked. Full.
Yeah.
But I just think there are enough guys to go down around him to keep him. I mean, I know Sirianni went to a Super Bowl, so it's a little bit different, but I thought Sirianni was going to get fired last year. They didn't do that, but they fired both coordinators and got him new coordinators. So I could see that scenario. Don't you think? Like, I think Robert Kraft would be much more willing to part with one or both coordinators, maybe even the GM, than he would the head coach. And you certainly aren't getting rid of all four, at least I don't think, after 1 year. So I do think he's back, but nobody can be as confident as they were at the beginning of the year, just the way this thing has played out.
No. I mean, I don't know. I don't, as of Monday, before Bedard came out and said he might not survive the year, and, you know, before Florio said he could talk his way out of a job, both of those were on Tuesday. As of Monday, I'm like, this guy may not survive. When he got hired, I'm like, if they are a one-win team,
if they win one game, and not only one game, it's they won the first game.
Yeah.
That's so different, too. It's
not
like,
middle of the year, slow, you win 1 week 8,
yeah,
and then you fall back off again.
No, because that's
you're competitive.
It's a 16-game losing streak.
Yeah, and
it's insane.
The losing margin keeps getting bigger.
They've gotten waxed. Although they played a close game against
the Dolphins.
The Dolphins.
That's true. So, I mean, I guess that's an exaggeration, but, like, they just are a non-competitive football team. And so not only are you losing all these games, you're not competitive.
So do you think he's gone if, More record-wise or more sort of like state of the franchise?
I think it's more the off-field stuff.
Yeah, the on-field
stuff doesn't help. Like, if they just keep getting run on, and if they win one game, like, none of that helps. But could he survive going 1-16 in a vacuum? Yes, he could. I think 1-16 is an indictment enough where you may have to move on. But fine, he could survive that. Can he survive going 3-14 with all of the issues off the field?
It's crazy where they're at.
No, that to me is the much more concerning thing.
I think for Kraft, too, it's just how relevant the team is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, nationally, it was they were the big talk for so long, and they were on every primetime game. Last year was a real eye-opening experience when you get flexed out of a Patrick Mahomes-Taylor Swift game. They're like, no, we don't want that. You don't want that? So that was a bad sign last year, right? That's not just a Mayo thing. That was last year when they were four wins. This year, they're Sunday at one. Every week with Spiro Dedes. Yeah. Like, that is kind of what their situation is right now.
Not good.
And, so, and they have the number one pick in the draft as of right now.
Players,
that's also their thing.
Players accused of domestic violence. Players mixing it up with the police in Providence, accusing them of being racist and then having to walk that back.
Yep.
You have Javon Baker at the airport on top of it, although that feels very minor by comparison.
No, and like,
you have players popping off, pointing fingers at the coaches, the coaching staff pointing fingers back at the players. What did you just tell me in the last break about
Kendrick Bourne?
Thank you. Yeah, is that what it was? Yes.
Yeah, so Mego tweeted this out. So she said Kendrick Bourne clarifies his comments about nutrition and sleep after the London game.
Yep.
Says he thinks a lot of people thought he was talking about Pop. I guess he wasn't, because Pop was the one that, you know, on the field had an issue with his tummy.
Yeah, Poop Douglas,
but
Pepto Bismol.
You know what he says? What
does he say?
There was food poisoning.
Ah.
Which would so make one think.
Who was food poisoned? If he wasn't talking about Pop,
about
who was food poisoned?
A question about food might not be that crazy.
Well, there's that. I do agree. Keith, it was never a crazy question.
It was. No, it was a
regardless of what
cringeworthy
question. Yeah, well, it was cringeworthy.
That moron.
And dumb.
Said.
Yeah, well, regardless of what the aggregators over at Nesson think, also, or Vinny from The Challenge think.
Yeah, jeepers.
Like,
Vinny from The Challenge. That one really crawls up your backside. All right, so here's Phil Perry. Here's another one. He says Javon Baker tells him that he wasn't feeling well enough to play against the Jaguars last week. He was listed on Friday's injury report with an illness. He says there was no curfew issue that led him to being inactive. He also adds he's not sure if he'll be active this week.
Okay, you buy it? This is now the official excuse. Food poisoning and guys weren't feeling well. There was an illness going through the team.
Food poisoning but not pop? Oh, maybe Baker was poisoned when
maybe.
He got there.
No, but do you...
Well, food poisoning.
They're adamantly saying it wasn't curfew. Guys weren't out partying. Like, now they're... And this is what Van Pelt said earlier today, too. Like, they're trying to change that narrative. And yet, Kendrick Bourne just kind of called it out of nowhere. He was asked about the team being soft early in the week. And he's like, yeah, maybe we can make better personal decisions.
Hmm.
Staying up late, eating whatever. We got next question by Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And,
that's right.
You know, Keith, to pat you on the back.
Thank you.
That story has blown up a little bit.
It's the biggest story in sports.
I don't know if it's the biggest story in sports, but it's blown up a little bit locally.
It's the second biggest story
in sports.
And
now on Thursday, they're walking back this narrative. I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. Would you rule it out with this team that guys were breaking curfew and guys were out partying in London?
No.
Hell no. Not this team.
No, please.
This super buttoned up disciplined team. Why do they deserve the benefit of the doubt?
They do not.
They react to it 4 days later?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I don't
you're not
buy
buying
that.
It. They're selling it, but you're not buying
they're
it.
They're selling. I'm not buying it. Exactly. Right. Exactly, right. Keith.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Charlie is in Boston. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you. It is.
Hope you believe that. It is a great show. Great show. Cooper Kupp is the best signing you can make right now and overpay for him, not only because of his talent, but the leadership that he brings to that wide receiver room. Because nobody – I mean, that's how you shut the young guys up. Like, Cooper Kupp is an absolute stud. And he's also going to give Drake May confidence going forward. I just think he's a great signing for what they need right now.
Okay, he'd be a trade, but I get
could,
the point.
Yeah. I could be talked into it. I just wonder, I mean, I guess I'm hung up on, like, I don't think he'd want to come here, but let's just say he does. He was also college teammates with Kendrick Bourne, right?
Yep.
So maybe you keep Bourne and you kind of turn it over and you're like, we have Kupp and Bourne.
He's
then
from Washington receiving room.
Yeah, well, maybe it's not ideal on paper, but Cooper Kupp, best receiver season of all time in 2021.
Okay.
I think he still has something left in the tank, but he does have injury issues.
Yeah, so it'd be a roll of the dice. But let's say...
He's okay. A big-time leader, though. He's like a captain of that team. Like, he is, as far as any receivers are leaders, he's
Super Bowl MVP?
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. I mean, he's won. He has been productive. He is older, not cheap, and injury-prone.
31.
But, they want a second-round pick, right? That's the report.
Yeah, but you could offer a third. Well, it's going to be a super high third round pick.
That's what I'm saying. And you have two thirds. So could you trade your own third round pick?
I'm already sold. Yes.
At the top of the third round, which is effectively a second round pick, or if they can't get a second round pick, you can offer the best third round pick.
You can still pick number one overall. You can still pick number 33 overall.
Andy's been on this since early in the week. I think there's something to that. I'm not saying the Patriots are going to do that, but if they traded a third rounder, their own third rounder.
I like it.
For Cooper Kupp, hell yeah, I'd be.
No, it's a good point, and like, that's the kind of guy that maybe could at least help start to change the locker room and that position group in particular. Really, 90% of the issues that we're talking about are something that the receivers posted on Instagram or said to a media member.
Yeah.
So if you get rid of a couple of them and then you bring in a real adult in Cooper Kupp, who's also on the field the best out of all of those guys.
Yes.
So now you're helping. I think you're helping the coaching staff by getting like a real professional in there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're obviously helping Drake May, which is even more important. So that I'm sold now.
So
bring Cooper Kupp.
I'm not sold on, you know, when we're talking about what do you do with Jerod Mayo, you're going to have to replace him. I'm not fully sold on this, but I am a little more open to last year when we were talking about who is going to replace Bill Belichick. Before we knew, it was already in writing, and it was going to be Jerod Mayo.
What a waste of time.
Right.
The answer was already there.
Before we knew that, I wanted offensive guy, quarterback guy, young Shanahan McVay coaching tree, Andy Reid coaching tree, like something like that. That's who I want. That's the profile of who I want. Okay? I wasn't interested in the Mike Vrabels of the world. I wasn't interested in guys who weren't offensive-minded and either called plays or coached quarterbacks or something like that. The Vrabel option seems more attractive now, where you have a guy who has done it before and can get control of the team back. Because, Keith, let's face it, this is a team that has zero control. They're lawless. They're a mess. They're a joke. All these other adjectives we put on it.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean a young coach can't come in and command a room. Like, D'Amico Ryans would be a great example in Houston. You know, you brought up Sean McVay.
He was also a D coordinator for
a
couple of years.
No, he was. It's true. So, you know? But offensive guys would come in and had success right away. Sean McVay.
Well, no, but I mean, like, coordinator is what I meant. Like, Mayo was a position coach and sort of, like, shared that role to begin with, which...
He was never even a coordinator.
Right.
He skipped steps.
Right. And so, like, that got brought up a lot when he got hired. And you're like, if he's good, he's good. It's like, all right, or maybe that was important.
Yeah,
maybe he needed that responsibility.
I was not super interested in, like, the retread veteran coach thing. I would like them, if they're ever going to move on from Mayo, who knows if they would, but Schefter didn't shoot it down yesterday afternoon. If they were ever going to do that, I wouldn't mind an interview or two with, like, a Mike Vrabel type, a guy who's coached before and is going to get a second shot. I wasn't into that last year. After watching the Jerod Mayo experience, I'm a little more open to it.
I don't need the old guy. Like, I'm good. You already went from the oldest or second oldest coach in the league to one of the youngest coaches in the league. You and Seattle both did that, right? They got rid of the old guy, brought in a super young guy. I prefer the younger guy, but I for sure want the offensive guy. Like, I absolutely want the offensive coach. So I'd be much happier with an offensive coordinator that is ready to go, like a Ben Johnson, than I would be going back to like a retread or like a older guy. But I think what is important,
I still like the offensive mind idea, but is there value in a guy who's done it for this mess and debacle of a team where you need guys to buy in?
But what if you had a former head coach who's really not a great head coach, but you stick him on as a coordinator? And then that way the new head coach has somebody to sort of lean on.
Yeah, something like that.
That side of the ball is a little bit more.
Yeah, you brought it up before, the McVay-Wade Phillips model.
Yeah, that's a great model.
Something like that.
Yes, like that one makes a lot of sense to me. And they didn't do that this year. In fact, they didn't even really interview that. Like, they didn't interview Cliff Kingsbury.
I mean, they hardly interviewed anybody.
Other guys. No. They didn't for the head coach. Nobody.
Oh, I'm sorry. For the offensive coordinator. Yeah.
It was like 12 guys, but a lot of them were kind of, you know, QB coaches, and like it was a lot of that type.
Wasn't like full on vets.
It wasn't like a guy who used to be a head coach. No.
No, that's true. Real quick, because I see it on the screen here. You saw that John Mara came out, owner of the Giants.
Yeah.
And was adamant they're not making any changes in season.
For Brian Daboll. Because they've been going through coaches like
Joe Shane, like the crazy GM as well.
Yeah. Joe Shane should be in more risk than Daboll.
Yeah. Does Kraft need to do anything like that?
No. And I think if he does, that's a horrible sign.
Interesting.
So it's a little bit different in New York because this is year three for Daboll. I think if you do the vote of confidence halfway through year one,
So you'd go the other way.
I would.
So you wouldn't be reassured. You'd be like, oh my God, it's happening.
No, I wouldn't be reassured at all. I'd be like, oh my God, that is the last ditch effort. I would be way, way more concerned.
I hadn't looked at it that way, but it's a good point.
For year one, Mara might be telling the truth about this one, and maybe they stick with Daboll after that, and he's trying to right the ship for this season. But you should, like, if you're Kraft, you should kind of look at it like, what an insane question. Like, this is part of the building. This is part, like, we're going to get there soon enough. But if you go out there and he wouldn't do like a formal press conference, but if he's talking to somebody on NFL Network and he's like, I'm here to tell you that these guys are back, I'd be like, oh boy, pack your stuff. It's going to be a weird offseason.
I hadn't looked at it that way, but I like that take.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.